preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those winning mole boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey ho, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight here on the Trump Phenomenon. And it is December 13th, 2017, for this live edition, obviously live, from all the thrills and spills that you hear as we present the show to you. And of course, if you've been asleep for the last 24 hours, you don't know about the bad news from yesterday, but I'm going to try to put it in a good light. That is the Democratic victory in Alabama. We'll talk about that tonight. And I'll also talk about something that I think it might be just as important. It might be more important. And that is the complete self-destruction of the Robert Mueller inquiry, which is happening now this week. And the big, big, big story there is the Brett Baer and Fox, Sean Hannity and Fox, they're now blasting all over the world these emails that have passed between members of Mueller's pack of hyenas. it's going to be fun as this thing comes completely unglued. So we'll do that. We'll go to those two news stories tonight for sure. And anything you want to bring up here at the Trump Phenomenon, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And I'll get my call-in board up here so we can see you when you appear. There you go. Nobody's no call-ins on the board yet, so lines are open. I see Paul Fromm. Paul, are you there? Well, we don't have any audio from Paul Fromm yet, but with that, so for the moment, I'm going solo. This is James Kelso. I'm up in North Dakota, and let's start with last night. Well, that was an amazing show last night, an amazing experience watching the election results come in as it went back and forth. I left in my show description for the show as we closed. Roy Moore had not yet been defeated. It was just looking like that's where it was going. Paul, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, just reviewing what happened last night, it was quite a thing. As we closed the show last night with 75% of the returns in, Roy Moore had a 20,000 vote lead, and I speculated with the votes, the voting, the precincts not having been counted in Jefferson County, that's Birmingham and Montgomery County, Montgomery, that was not going to be enough of a lead, 20,000, for Roy Moore to withstand the tidal wave of black voting that was about to come in from Birmingham and Montgomery, which went almost 100% against Roy Moore. I mean, that was quite a spectacle. The black vote in Alabama, I think black women, it was either 97 or 98 to 2 or 3 for Doug Jones. And the black vote in Alabama, constituting about 30% of the population, That was a tidal wave that was pretty hard to survive, and Roy Moore did not survive that tidal wave. So Doug Jones gets himself elected to the U.S. Senate. Some of the good news, let's put some spin on it here and get some of the good news. It's only for a 3-year term.
It's really only two, because the next election, the next, no, you're right, the 2020, right?
2020, yeah. So it's half of a Senate term that's available here, and 3 years of a Senate term. And Jeff Sessions was elected last time, unopposed, actually, I think, in 2014, and he got something like 97% of the vote, memory serves me. I don't think a Democrat even ran. So it was expected that... Don't let this disappoint you, because this is part of the good news, folks. It was expected that the special election in Alabama would be a snooze. That is, that it would be a guaranteed victory by a Republican, because it's such a Republican state, Alabama. And so it was kind of a surprise that the Republicans managed to lose it. Well, the good news there is that this guy, Doug Jones, who is a real... foaming at the mouth left winger, somebody that's for partial birth abortion. Oh man, it doesn't get any more left wing than that. That guy is not going to survive in the state of Alabama, which is a very solidly pro-Trump state among the white population. It's extremely pro-Trump, better than 2-1. So that mistake of electing a Democrat yesterday, that will be rectified in the 2020 election. And so Donald Trump, for his second term, starting in 2020, he will have that Alabama senator back in the Republican column. So that's something that we can survive. Let me try to think of if there's any more good spin we can put on this. Yes, a lesson was learned. Sometimes in a negative experience, the lesson learned is somewhat worth it, maybe fully worth it. In Alabama, a point that Paul and I and all the rest of us patriots are making all the time is demography is destiny. Or it's all about the immigration, stupid. And Ann Coulter, in her column today, boy, does she make that point very well. She says there's only one issue. There is only one issue now, immigration. The rest of it, forget about it. We're down to one issue. It's the make or break, live or die issue, which is immigration. And this election, this loss yesterday, underscored that point in several ways. Coulter points out some of them. Was Roy Moore really great on immigration? No, he was not. He rarely talked about it. He talked about other things. He talked about the Ten Commandments. He talked about abortion and so on, thinking that those are winning issues, that that's what white America is waiting to hear about. Well, wrong. And Donald Trump, and Ann Coulter makes a point, I hope Donald Trump is watching this too. What did he win with in 2016? It's the immigration, stupid. Donald Trump said loud and clear to the American public, we're going to control our borders. That's what white America has been waiting to hear. And any time that Trump strays from that message, or any time somebody like Roy Moore gets a little befuddled and goes on to some other issue, white America isn't listening. That's not what's going to win. And there was a low turnout among whites in Alabama. The turnout was not really good. People stayed at home. So mistake made there. Didn't talk about immigration enough. That's what got people to the polls with Donald Trump. And that's what will get people to the polls. It's good to get this out of the way in 2017 so we don't make this mistake in 2018 and have a whole bunch of candidates who are running on, you know, the Ten Commandments or abortion or other issues. I just use those as two, for example, issues, and aren't running on what Ann Coulter says. The one issue is immigration, period. That lesson was learned. Another lesson learned, if you don't pay attention to that only important issue, which is immigration, you're going to suffer a demographic change. And your destiny is going to change. Demography is destiny. And if you go asleep at the wheel on immigration, you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose the Ten Commandments. You're going to lose on abortion. You're going to lose everything. Because this issue of immigration is the one upon all which all the others depend. You lose this one, you lose it all. You win this one, and now you can make everything make sense. You can go in detail on any other issues you want, but you're wasting your time. If you lose on immigration, as they say in New Jersey, forget about it.
Forget about it, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have a country anymore, folks.
Of course. Don't worry about the other stuff. If you lose on if the population has changed right before your eyes and you don't do anything about it, demography is everything. Ken Givenan sent something my way that was really shocking. The statistics of the vote, the blacks, 95% voted for Obama. I'm sorry, voted for
Doug Jones.
You talk about if all the whites voted for one person, they'd say it was racist. And black women 97%, black men black population in general, 95%. White men, overwhelmingly for Judge Moore, even white women.
What was the white men number?
I'm trying to find it here.
I saw it earlier today.
Give me a minute here. I found that quite interesting.
Yes, and making the point that demography is destiny when it comes to elections. You're not going to, you know, all this to talk and so on. You'll hear people talking about, and you know, hey, bless their hearts. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I wish the black race the best. I want it to do the best. I don't want it to go to hell in a handcart. I don't want anybody to go to hell in a handcart because it just creates problems for the rest of us. If the Koreans go to hell in a handcart in North Korea, we've got a nuclear war on our hands. That doesn't help us. Yeah, go ahead.
You hear the number. White men were 35% of the electorate. They voted 72% for Judge Roy Moore. White women were 31% of the electorate. They voted 63% for Judge Moore. Negro men were 11% of the electorate. They voted 93% for Jones. Negro women were 17% of the vote of voters. They voted 98% for Jones. So it's a race thing, and you put a good spin on, and there's certainly lessons to be learned. I think there's also revenge to be taken. I think. Look at the people who sabotaged Judge Moore, and/or who betrayed him. Sabotaged the northern, largely Jewish-owned newspaper chain that ran front-page editorials in the three biggest cities in Alabama against Judge Moore. Senator Shelby, who said he could not vote for Moore and urged people to write in. You look at the write-in vote last night. If that write-in vote had gone, let's say, 90% for Moore, he'd have won. Judge Moore was sabotaged, and every time I hear some talking head of an ethnicity not my own on CNN calling him a pedophile or a child molester, I want to scream. There were accusations made. We still believe in English common law and the quaint notion that you are innocent until proven guilty. And Judge Moore was never charged. And it's interesting. In fact, most of the things that he was accused of were at worst, maybe a little bit raunchy behavior. But none of the accusers had ever come forth until magically, about a month before the election. It's a con job. I think most white Alabamians saw through it. Unfortunately, just enough, I guess, didn't, or they held back or didn't vote.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And the I like your another positive thing to come out of this is payback. There has to be payback here for the people that sabotaged Moore. McConnell is at the head of that list, and within the Republican Party, people that sabotaged Moore, Ann Coulter. Well, let's go to Ann Coulter's column here. I'll do it in a bit. But Ann Coulter has a great column, a little bit of raunchy language in it, which actually just kind of adds some zing to it. Let me bring that stuff up. But the a little bit of payback here. The guilty parties being McConnell at the head of the class. She also goes to Jared Kushner we'll talk about that right after this break, and we'll come back to callers. Mike in Kentucky, John in Alabama, George in Texas, and Ed in Utah. Stay tuned, gentlemen. We'll be with you.
The free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be.
We're back, folks. And we've got a lot of callers here, so I had to jump right into the callers before we proceed further. But I've got two topics I want to address tonight right off the bat. One, we started with the loss, as it were, in Alabama last night, just by one percentage point, slightly more than one percentage point, very, very narrow. It might even get narrower as recounting or additional votes come in. And the and then the other topic, this beautiful, beautiful, I want to make sure I emphasize this, folks, the emails that have come out from Peter Strzok, S-T-R-Z-O-K, Peter Strzok, of the Robert Mueller team, in which they're vile. They're very vulgar emails in which the F-bomb is used over and over again by there are 10,000 of these emails. And Peter Strzok, folks, was at the center, the very center of the so-called FBI investigation. So-called, because it wasn't an investigation. It was a whitewash of Hillary Clinton, a whitewash of the DNC, a whitewash of the left. Peter Strzok, Robert Mueller, all these people, James Comey, they have acted as fixers. And the FBI This is not to impugn the integrity of the lower level, if you want to call it that. It's pretty hard to get into the FBI. There are no lower level people in the FBI. But the rank and file of the FBI, not to impugn their honor or integrity, but they don't control the FBI. And if they're working on a kidnapping case, it doesn't have any, you know, that doesn't affect the future of the nation that directly. But at the top of the FBI, the whole thing went rotten. The FBI at the top is totally rotten. That's what we are learning. It has to be, the Aegean stables have to be cleaned out. A lot of people have to be fired. And thanks to these emails, thank goodness that these criminals like Peter Strzok, and he is a criminal, thank goodness they had the chutzpah to email each other on their FBI servers. What idiots these people are. And all those emails, or a lot of them, enough of them, are available to us. They're available from Freedom of Information lawsuits by Judicial Watch and others. The Inspector General released a bunch of them. And these people stupidly been mouthing off to each other, bragging with each other about how they're going to get rid of Trump. I mean, some really nasty stuff.
These are senior FBI people.
Senior FBI people, folks, at the very top. And they are now the foxes guarding the hen house. They're supposed to be doing the inquiry into whether there's corruption in the Trump administration, which, of course, there is not. So their job, again, is to act as fixers. This is fully exposed. I don't see any way that these people, that the Mueller investigation could still be going on a month from now. I don't see how that's possible. I don't see, by the way, in these emails, they make nasty comments about the president's wife, about Melania. It gets personal. They call Donald Trump, this is the word they use, they call him a douchebag.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But that's
this is the some people, elite, higher ups in the FBI.
Higher ups in the FBI who are having affairs with each other. Strzok is having an affair with this woman who's in the FBI, who's highly placed, who's on the same case, cheating on his wife. Calling Trump a douchebag, F-bombing, you know, like every other sentence. The only adjective they seem to know is effing, is their primary adjective. And they're talking about how they have they've got to stop Trump. At any cost, we will stop Trump. And it goes beyond that. It gets criminal. So that these people are now, they're the only personnel. This is not like there was a rotten apple in the Robert Mueller barrel. No, it's all rotten apples. Every single person that Mueller has put on his team, if you want to call it that, the pack of hyenas, is in fact a rotten to the core, corrupt person, and a to the bone Trump hating. Activist. So this, there's no way. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, I don't think he'll do it, but he would be perfectly justified tomorrow morning sitting down at his desk, asking for his pen, and simply firing not just Mueller, not just Rod Rosenstein, but all of them, every one of them in total. Just say the whole thing is canceled. Your budget is stopped. You've got 30 minutes to get out of the building, and don't dare take your computers or anything, any government property with you. Don't touch it, and you ought to send federal marshals in to lift them up, by a marshal on each shoulder, and lift them up and carry them out of the building. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
We're back, folks. And let's get to these calls right now. I've got 5 callers. Mike in Kentucky, then John in Alabama, George in Texas, Ed in Utah, Tom in Florida. Let us start at the top with Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on the air.
Well, a couple of things. Looking at the map, the people that are trying to say Alabama is now united, it's not. It's just, you know, flyover country is voted red, you know, basically, and this, only the urban areas that voted for the Democrat candidate. And the party, status quo party boss has pulled a heck of a underhanded trick by, how could they even count those write-in votes? It's my understanding unless a candidate is actually registered properly, those votes do not count. They cannot be counted unless that candidate is properly registered with each county clerk. Now, that may vary in Alabama, but you can't just go in there and write in Thomas Jefferson and expect your vote to count. So these, you know, the party boss has done it. Republicans just told their zombies to go vote for this write-in candidate, and they did. So 22,000 people in Alabama are simply just drone zombies, be them whoever they are, Republicans or Democrats. But Roy Moore may have to pay for a recount. Has he conceded the election? It's what I've read, he's not conceding it. But he can't expect a recount unless it's less than 0.5% margin.
Yes, I don't know the story on that one. It does look as if he will lose. We'll stay tuned. You know, whatever effort can be made to not lose, you can count that he'll do that. And, forces with him will do that. So we'll stay tuned for that.
Another host, Zero Hedge and Blacklisted News, and has got these stories up today. And Blacklisted News is on Republic Radio on Sunday night. I forget his name, but he's got the story up on his webpage that shows the maps. And Roy is calling for a recount.
Okay, that's good.
Polls like 4 days ago, four or five days ago, were showing him 10 points ahead, and then all of a sudden in the last 72 hours or something, the other guy's supposed to be 4 percentage points ahead. Something's wrong with that. They could flip that
well,
quick.
Here's the key thing. There are a number of key things. It's a little bit complex, but I guess that's the way it is, so we've got to deal with the complexity of it. White folks in Alabama did not turn out at the polls in the percentage that they needed to turn out. Blacks, surprisingly, turned out in a higher percentage than whites did. That was devastating in this election, in which blacks are voting 95% against the Patriot candidate.
And they're voting for genocide because this guy is for abortion. It's my understanding it's not uncommon for mostly minority and black women to have 4, 6, 8, even 10 abortions because they're using abortion as birth control, and that's where Planned Parenthood's putting their abortion clinics, is in the minority neighborhoods. So, ironically, they're voting for genocide of themselves.
Well, yes, and the but here's the takeaway from this, is that the white folks have to come together. The whole point of this show, they have to come together as a family, and they you cannot have a battle within the family and be voting against ethnic groups which don't have a battle in their family. If 95% of blacks voted for the Democrat left-wing candidate, that's they've got it together as a family. They're voting as a group. We need to do that. And if we don't do that, we're going to experience losses like the Roy Moore loss. The white, two things are wrong. Number one, the number of whites who showed up at the polls was surprisingly low. I don't have the number in front of me, but instead of I think black turnout was considerably higher than white turnout in rural Alabama. That hurt. Then whites divided. That is, instead of voting 95% for the Patriot candidate, white men voted 72% and white women voted 63%. That left a lot of votes for the left-wing candidate. So we can't do those things. So the takeaway from this is Mitch McConnell, thank you very much for spending $50 million or so trying to beat the Patriot candidate. And by the way, let me add a layer into this. Mo Brooks, a congressman from the Huntsville, Alabama area of Alabama, Mo Brooks was a great Patriot candidate, probably was the best candidate running, was the one that should have been endorsed by Trump. Ann Coulter endorsed Mo Brooks, and he just recently found out he has some prostate cancer. Let's hope that all goes away, because Mo Brooks is the odds-on favorite to be the Republican candidate in 2020. And
well,
he would
win. Luther Strange? Who's Luther Strange that Matt Drudge says he would have won by a landslide? I mean, have you seen that tweet?
Yes.
Matt Drudge, well, apparently.
Any Republican should have won in Alabama. As I say, Sessions was unopposed. His last run,
What's the voting population of Alabama? This was a special election, so it's no big surprise that there was not a huge turnout, but did even 50% of the eligible voters turn out? I mean, the numbers I'm seeing shows 1.2 million, something
and
like
the
that,
presidential,
1.3 million. The population of Alabama's got to be 7 million.
Well, I believe the vote in for Trump carried the state almost 2-1, like 64% to like 34%, something like that, against Hillary Clinton. And the point being that as a family, white folks have to stick together. This battle This is where this goes now. The battle has to be fought out inside the Republican Party. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, these, as Jerry Falwell Jr. has aptly dubbed them, these fake Republicans.
Yeah.
They have to be replaced with, I like what our caller in Missouri, was it Dave in Missouri? I forget your name in Missouri, but our Missouri caller, who's real Americans. Donald Trump is a real American. Finally, we elected a real American. We need to replace the fake Republicans with real Americans. And
of
if we do
color.
That, well, you know, they're going to be white.
Well,
they're going to be
any
white.
Color. And, there's lots of sensible immigration policy among other peoples that are not, quote, white. And I think that all that anybody has to do is look at the numbers, like Numbers USA puts forward, and he does not couch it in race. But, you know, if we don't do something to turn this around, there's going to be more people born from somewhere else or have parents that were born somewhere else by the year 2035. 2035, there's going to be more people that are not born in this country, and they don't have the loyalty. And that's one reason, I think, why they were pushing for Arnold Schwarzenegger to be elected and to get rid of the natural-born
provision. That's one. But, Mike, let me. This is a little bit complex, but it's a real important point. So let me lay it out. This is kind of almost the point of my show. It is about race, but it's about race with a different spin on it than is sometimes heard. And there's a gentleman named McLeod. If you're listening, I think he's been listening to this show because he sent out a letter to some leaders, and he echoed this point. I think he heard it here on the show. The point is this: the reason it's about white people, but don't be a racist about it. Those are two interesting points. A lot of people have been pretty darn racist about making the white point, and here's the problem: it doesn't work. That message doesn't work with, forget about the other races, it doesn't work with white people. It's a loser with white people. That's the reason you don't want to sound like a racist. So when I talk very highly and glowingly about Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee, who's black, it's not because I think lots of blacks are going to vote for the pro-white or the white advocate position. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Mexicans are. I don't think Indians or Chinese, East Indians or American Indians, for that matter, blacks. I don't think Arabs. They're not going to vote for a white advocate position ever. And that 97% of black women who voted against Roy Moore, that makes the point. There's not some harvest of votes to be gotten there. White people are going to have to save themselves.
Yeah. Well, Hang on.
I don't want to lose the point, Mike, because I got to connect these two parts of the point. White people are going to have to save themselves, but white people won't respond to our patriot message, the pro-white, pro-advocate position. They won't respond if you sound like a racist. They won't.
Well, just look at the numbers. Forget race. Look at the numbers.
This country is not
a nation of immigrants. It's a complete myth that this country was ever a nation of immigrants. We have only ever had an average immigration of about 250,000 a year, legal, illegal, white, black, yellow, whatever.
Mike,
if you look at the immigration policy since 1990, they have quadrupled it. It's 1 million a year, and they want to bring it to 2 million a year. That's unsustainable.
Mike, it's not another point.
It doesn't matter about the race. If you bring in this many people, it's going to be 600 million people in this country.
Mike, your point is outstanding, but it's a separate point. Okay, we're kind of like we're talking about two different things here.
Well,
Mike, I'm agreeing with your point. I'm agreeing 100% with your point. So we don't have a disagreement, but we're talking about two different subjects. Okay. And we'll go to your subject in a second. I have a separate subject. Hang on. I know I'm stepping on your subject a little bit, but this is the point of this show. For me, I'm speaking for myself. Number one, we as a white race are going to have to save ourselves, period. End of story. No other race is going to like help us out. It isn't going to happen. There's no evidence. It's never happened in history. Just anybody who thinks it's going to happen for the first time in their lives is dreaming. It's not going to happen. Now, but here's my important point. If we, advocates for survival of our own race, of our own people, we have to sound as if we have to appeal to the rest of our people. We have to have a message that's attractive. Donald Trump did that. That's why I called this show The Trump Phenomenon. Donald Trump did that in 2016, and white people overwhelmingly voted for him because he didn't sound like an anti-Semite. He didn't sound like a racist. He didn't sound like a Nazi. None of those labels, it didn't matter if people called him all three, they did, but none of it stuck because he's not an anti-Semite. He's not a racist, and he's not a Nazi. So none of those things stuck, but his policies are pro-white. He comes across as a generous, kind, good, red-blooded, real American, as our Missouri correspondent said, and that advocacy can win in America. So those two points, in Alabama, we had a split white vote. We can't win with that. White people have to, like other ethnic groups, again, not being racist. Now, this isn't racist. To vote for your own people is not racist. It's not hateful. It's not anti-Semitic. To vote for your own people is actually, the only adjective that applies is sane. It's sane. That's all. Anything else is insane. And these Mexicans who vote, you know, with their group, they're being logical. Blacks who vote together. I'm not chewing out the blacks of Alabama for voting together as a bloc. Hey, that's pretty smart. But when I say good things about Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee, that's not in the hope that he's going to attract, you know, 20% of the black vote over to a pro-white position. I don't think he will. I admire the man for having the greatness of mind and character that he realizes Trump's right. And but folks, great men like David Clark are going to be in very small numbers. You're not going to get, you know, they're a great Jewish man in all this is Stephen Miller, who's writing Donald Trump's speeches. He's a great Jewish man, but is a great percentage of the Jewish population going to vote pro-white or pro-European? I don't think so. I don't think that's likely to happen. But here's the point. Here's the conclusion here. We're not trying when we come across as Donald Trump does, as not being racist, not being Nazis, and not being anti-Semitic. We're not trying to appeal to the Jews or to the blacks or to the Mexicans. That's not the appeal. We're trying to appeal. That message appeals to whom? White people. White people will. Trump has proved it. He nailed it. He proved with 63 million votes, overwhelmingly white, that if you sound like you're not racist, not anti-Semitic, and not, that's why I say the Jerusalem embassy move was a brilliant, brilliant move. Not because he's going to get a whole lot of Jewish votes. I don't think he is. But he's going to lock in for 2020 a whole lot of white votes because he doesn't look like a hater. White people don't want to vote for a hater. They want to vote for somebody they regard as a great man, a big heart, but who will stand up and make America first and make America great again. Donald Trump just nailed the message. Now go ahead, Mike, the microphone's yours.
Well, the whole Jerusalem move, I don't think, how that's going to play is in the, just like those 22,000 people that went and voted for a write-in candidate and wasted their vote, they do what they're told. There's a lot of evangelicals that simply believe that they're supposed to support Israel no matter what. And the whole pro-Zionist thing there is going to play among them, but there's increasingly a lot of people that
Do you know what percentage of the Republican primary vote in Alabama was evangelical? Before you dismiss that group of people,
I'm not dismissing.
No, hang on, 66%. You better appeal to the evangelicals if you're going to win with the only white party we've got. You know, I'm part of the American Freedom Party, a little tiny party.
And the Bible will tell you a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These Christians had better get a hold of their own book and read it. Why are you going to support building a temple that would negate the crucifixion? It makes no sense.
Why would you support
the building of a temple that's going to reinstitute animal sacrifice? They're doing that.
Hang on, Mike. I know. Oh, you know, we white folks are so good at debating theology with each other. We've been killing each other debating theology for centuries. It's why my ancestors came to America, both the Kelsos and the Catholic Protestant fighting in Ulster, and the Walrus, my middle name, the German ancestors who fled from the 30 Years' War in Rhineland Palatinate. But we're good at that. We got to stop doing it. But Mike,
divide
good points
and conquer.
All. Good. You got it, Mike. Thank you very much. And I apologize. I got to get to some other callers here. Let's go to John in Alabama, right there in Alabama. John, you're on the air. Come
this
in, John.
Hi, James. Hi, Paul. Look, this is I wanted to bring up the point that that Mike brought up, that, for one, Judge Moore did not concede yet. The state has said they're not going to certify the election result until after Christmas. Now, there's some interesting side. It's a complex issue when it comes to the ballots. In Alabama, when we go to vote, you get a paper ballot, you go to your table, you mark in your boxes, you walk over to the other side of the room where there are large cabinets with a computer scanner up top. When you put the paper scanner in, it scans an image of your ballot, and it saves it in a digital format. Now, there was litigation going on where the state Secretary of State said, we're not going to save those images. That got litigated, and the first time up on appeal, the court made an injunction and said, no, they have to save the images.
Well, tell me, John. Please tell me that in Alabama, you're going to either, the paper is being saved or the digital images are being saved, because if they're not, there's going to be nothing to audit.
Well, this is the really fascinating point. Yesterday, the Alabama Supreme Court, at the last minute, or, you know, right before or the night before the vote, reversed themselves because the state made the argument they did not have the space to store the digital images.
Okay,
now,
there you go.
Think about this for a minute. Those images are stored on a little SD card. I can take you down to Montgomery and show you tons of buildings that have enough room for an envelope to hold a couple SD cards.
All that information could be put on one SD card that you can buy at a department store for $70, a 200 gigabyte SD card. Yeah,
you got it. Well, now, this sets up the whole background issue, and exactly why I respect Judge Moore for not conceding yet, because this whole, you know, Mike brought up part of it. You guys have talked about part of it. I'm going to tell you what I saw down here. You guys brought up.
Oh yeah, you were there. You were there. Give us a little bit of the flavor on the ground in Alabama. What was it like yesterday?
I'll tell you, Matt Drudge is full of it when he thinks he's either delusional or something. If he thinks that Luther Strange was going to win, and I'll tell you why. When Luther Strange went to D.C., he made a comment back here on the campaign trail about the swamp. He said, I've been to D.C. You know, it's not that corruption everybody talks about. I heard people in grocery stores repeating that, saying he's crazy.
Yeah. But what do you think about Mo Brooks? What do you think about Mo Brooks as a candidate for 2020, if we have to go that way?
I don't, you know, my impression from talking to people when Mo Brooks was running is there was no energy for him. People just, and I'll tell you what's more interesting. This is why, now we talked about the ballot images. A couple weeks ago, I tried to find it while I was on hold. I didn't find it. There was a report that was circulating that sample ballots had been found, a box of sample ballots that had been already filled out for Doug Jones.
Oh, and let me say, John, let me do this. I hope I'm making your point. And Mike, I think you'll agree with this too. You can folks, you can count on it that in any election, there's going to be a bunch of fraud, that the fraud is going to be committed by the left. These people, they're Alinskyites. They view any crime, any violation of law.
Let me make part of this point. Mike's up there in Kentucky, and he knows this better than I do. I was in Kentucky for about 3 years, and when Mitch McConnell, and you know, some reports say that they spent as much as $50 million against Moore.
Yes.
When Mitch McConnell gets involved and wants anybody but Moore, now you have the Democrats and the GOP aligned in how they want the result to go.
Yes, exactly. So Ann Coulter gets it right. She gives a list of who's to blame for Moore's loss. And number one on her list, she's got it right. I hope I can read a little of her column tonight. Ann Coulter says, number one, the finger points directly at Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell caused the loss yesterday, if it turns out to be a loss. And I hope it doesn't, John. I hope that, you know, the slim chance that the election result could be reversed with a recount does materialize. But for now, I'm going with
interesting question, because if for anything else, by deleting the images, were they trying to make it more expensive on more to pay for a recount? That's the first question I have.
Yes, it's fully corrupt.
The logic used in the court doesn't make any sense, because like you said, we can go over to Best Buy or one of these other electronic stores, buy an SD card for under $100 that could store. And by the way, the population of Alabama is just under 5 million. So about 25% of the state showed up, according to the ballot count.
Yeah. John,
on a special election, good points. Is huge.
John, you're our local correspondent in Alabama. Thank you. keep us posted as how this story breaks in Alabama. You're on the ground right there. What corner of the state are you in?
I am just east of Birmingham. And I'm going to tell you things I heard in Birmingham. You know, this is
John, save those, because I got to get to the other callers, John. Save some of that great stuff for us. You are our local correspondent there. The band Alabama actually came from east of Birmingham. So thank you.
The county where Judge Moore was, you got to remember this. There's no social mobility for young ladies in Etowah County, Alabama, which is just north of me.
I know you're opening up a new topic, John, but we won't have time, just for lack of time. Save some of that good stuff for a future call. John, I love you, brother, and keep us informed on Alabama in a future call, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, John. George in Texas, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'll try to make it quick and brief. I think Donald Trump's tweet shouldn't have said that we should bring stronger candidates. I think it should have said the party should have stood behind Moore instead of stabbing him in the back. That's what Trump should have said.
Yes, you're
instead
right.
Instead of saying Moore was a weak candidate. He wasn't.
But I'm glad Trump did the right thing. I'm glad Trump came in strong for Moore at the end after having been misled by Jared Kushner. What a headache he's been for Donald Trump, and misled by Mitch McConnell, induced to support Luther Strange. He corrected that mistake by supporting Roy Moore, and he came in strong for Moore. That rally in Pensacola was huge, humongous. It was fabulous. Filled a giant arena, 12,000 people with Moore outside. So he did the right thing and acquitted himself well. Oh, you're kidding. We're out of time, Paul. My goodness. Ed in Utah, you've got a rain check. Tom in Florida, you too. Paul, I got to give a rain check to you because you barely got a word in edgewise. We will see you all again. Yeah, we'll see you all again tomorrow night. Don't stop.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.